and Milks. I'm your host, Amanda.
And I'm Ella, and you are entering the sovereign country of Scully Nation, where the flashlights are flickery and the blazers are boxy.
This is an X-Files rewatch podcast. We rewatch the X-Files, and then we talk about it. And this is my first time watching the X-Files.
And this is my fourth time watching the X-Files, and tonight is a religious night.
Mm.
It's a preachy night.
Mm.
It's a snake-handling kind of night.
Oh, amen.
Hallelujah!
Can I get a witness?
Yes. Okay. Can I witness? Well, I'm saying it. Can I witness myself?
No, I guess not. I think we need a third person.
We need a third person
Midnight.
To witness this.
Midnight.
Midnight is... He's not going to join this.
No.
Yeah. He's very Catholic.
Oh, that's, I have noticed that about him. We actually... Yeah. We're going to Midnight Mass together.
Mm, that's funny.
Like Christmas funny. Midnight Mass, not the show.
Well, I thought you meant because his name is Midnight.
Yeah.
And you're going to Mass with him.
It's pretty funny, right?
Yeah. It's pretty funny.
It's actually the only Mass he'll go to. He's very narcissistic.
Makes sense. That's true. He's a cat.
Well,
it's his
true.
Right.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, tonight we're going to talk about other kinds of Mass. Mm-hmm. Well, it's not Mass because it's Protestant. We're going to talk about other kinds of religion because we're talking about Season 7, Episode 9, Signs and Wonders.
Our church is founded on acceptance and tolerance of all people, all beliefs.
But?
Before Jared joined us, he belonged to a fundamentalist congregation outside of town. The Church of God with signs and wonders. It practices snake handling.
As a sign of faith, worshippers handle deadly snakes or drink poison.
They believe that the Holy Spirit protects the righteous.
This episode aired on January 23rd, 2000. It was written by Jeffrey Bell and directed by Kim Manners. You know Jeffrey Bell. I was going to say you know and love him. I don't know if you love him, but you know him because he wrote other episodes. He did the Goldberg variation. He did the Rain King. He did stuff.
We're okay.
Yeah. This episode takes place in Blessing, Tennessee, and briefly in Hamden, Connecticut. And a short plot synopsis. When a small town church is the site of a number of ritualistic-like murders, fingers are pointed to the Church of God with signs and wonders, a church where the Bible is read literally and punishment is dealt deftly. But soon the agents realize that the difference between the peaceful religious and the fanatics may not be very much at all.
Whoa.
Wow.
Protestants, am I right?
I guess so.
What are y'all doing?
What are we doing? I don't know.
Well, is it time to hop on in to the slithering meat of the episode? Yum.
Tasty.
Not really. We open on a house during a dark and stormy night, and we are in Blessing, Tennessee. On Hulu.
I did notice this.
The subtitle, or whatever you call that location tag, stays on for a normal amount of time. But on the DVD, it's like a blink and you miss it. Fastest gun in the West.
They were trying to hide it from us.
It's like, don't pay attention to this. It was a microsecond. I think scientists use that as a measurement of time.
I think
They're
so.
They're like, oh, it's one Blessing, Tennessee in the X-Files unit.
Makes sense.
It was not on there for a long time.
No.
But anyway, that's just a little color for you guys to, you know, it's like you're there with us watching.
Yes.
So we open on a house. It's a dark and stormy night. Inside, there's like a what we later realize is a rattle from a rattlesnake. No snake attached.
Mm-hmm.
And a man who I thought kind of looked like Wayne from Letterkenny, so I just called him Wayne in my notes.
I called him Wayne
okay,
in my
solid,
notes.
Solid. Okay, he looks like Wayne from Letterkenny.
He's Wayne to me.
Although Wayne would not get himself in a situation like
no,
this.
No, he certainly wouldn't.
No, thank you. But he is reading a medical test, and then he gets big mad, and he crumples up the paper and throws it towards the waste paper basket. So we know it's bad news of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
He's also packing all of his clothes in like a rush, and he is muttering praises to God under his breath as if he is nervous and praying for safety.
Mm-hmm.
He, at one point, looks very longingly at a picture of a woman that he has, I think, tucked inside a Bible, or at least some sort of book. Okay. And then, as he is staring at this picture of the woman, we see a figure appear and disappear mysteriously outside, not unlike the Blessing, Tennessee location subtitle. Quick as a flash.
Scary.
I know. But Wayne does not see this. He does have a gun, though. It's fully loaded. And then suddenly the rattlesnake rattle on his dresser starts a rattling.
Uh-oh.
So we suspect that means nothing good.
Yes.
He rushes out to his car in the middle of the storm with his suitcase, and he, like, jumps inside and locks the door as quickly as he can, and he fumbles his keys, drops them right on the floor. Embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
He can't be doing that.
He cannot be doing that.
When he reaches down to pick them up, there's just suddenly a snake on the floor of his car, which is alarming.
Not what you want to see.
No. But, I mean, maybe, you know, maybe a snake got into his car and it was hiding under the seat or something. Mm-hmm. Like, that
happens.
You know, it's not an X-File yet.
Yeah.
But guess what? He also looks towards his gun in the passenger seat, covered in snakes, too.
Oh, my Lord.
There's snakes everywhere. They're streaming in the windows. They're pretty cute. But... You know,
they're not cute.
They're supposed to be evil in this, obviously. They're streaming in. They keep multiplying. Wayne is calling out for help from Jesus, and he grabs his gun, and he does shoot a bunch, but he continues screaming ominously. So as we pull away from the car, we suspect he perhaps did not make it.
He gets snaked to death.
He got snaked to death.
Yes, yes. Sad. Guess no more Letterkenny.
But I love Letterkenny.
It's a bummer.
It sucks.
Wow.
I don't want Wayne to die.
Damn.
Well, R.I.P.
I will say I'm loving this location that we're in. Very atmospheric. I thought it looked like the cabin from Evil Dead.
Yes.
So, it's a good location.
Mm-hmm.
But it's sad. We get credits. Do we have to address this on the podcast?
I got so mad that I threw my microphone. I researched this.
Oh, okay.
So apparently, according to the, I don't know, fandom wiki or something for X-Files, sometimes if an episode was going long, they would remove images from the opening credits.
So it's not always.
But yes, would you like to say what we're talking about?
Okay, so during the credits, we've, I don't know, staked our sides. I love Screaming Man. Amanda loves Falling Guy.
Mm-hmm.
And Amanda always makes fun of me because I always forget to notice Screaming Man and sing his praises.
Mm-hmm.
But this time I was ready to refute Amanda. I was ready to point out my man, and he was not there.
So they've taken
him away from me.
How could you cheer for him?
I couldn't.
Now we have
Falling Guy is always there.
Well, Falling
Guy's
Screaming
Man,
Falling Guy's better.
Anyway.
His face doesn't stretch weird. His limbs do.
That's true.
And I love that for him. We both like Hallway Man.
Yeah, Hallway Guy is cool.
Hallway Ghosts.
It's a ghost, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So, you know. But I am sorry that they took that from you, and I guess that's what the 2000s was like. It was just, they took a lot from us, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, but, okay. Anyway. So, we will have to deal with that loss in our own particular ways.
We all grieve in our own unique ways.
But in the meantime, we must continue.
Yes.
Because we're just like Mulder and Scully, because even though we're grieving, we have to stay at work.
Damn. They could take some time off, though.
Nope.
Because they use all their PTO just going on cases that Skinner doesn't assign them to, so they can't take any time off.
That's why.
Makes sense.
Makes sense. All right.
It's full. Like, have they been assigned to any of these cases?
I mean, I think this one's a real case.
I suppose.
Just a dead guy.
No, you're right, right?
Yeah.
There's a file and everything. Mm-hmm. I wasn't clear if the last one was.
Malini.
I don't know, because Scully was like, how did you convince me to come out here?
Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, well.
I don't know. Anyway, the credits are over. Mulder's in the X-Files office. He's watching snake videos. He's talking on the phone.
He's always watching snake videos.
Yeah. Scully arrives, and so Mulder shows her the case file and gives her the details. So we see some photos of the poor bloated body of Wayne. He had 116 separate bite marks from 50 different snakes. There's copperheads, there's rattlers. So he was, he's real dead. He was found dead in his car with a pistol in his hand. The windows were shut. The doors were locked. Nobody knows what happened to the snakes. But Mulder just got off the phone with a herpetologist at the Smithsonian who told him that snakes tend to hibernate in the winter in that part of Tennessee. So it's weird that there were 50 snakes in this guy's car.
Yeah, I guess it is kind of weird.
Yes.
Now that they say that.
Yeah. So Scully is like, okay, so does that mean that this guy was murdered? And Mulder says that it certainly looks that way, but there is no evidence. There were no tire tracks. There's no other footprints at the scene. So if it was a murder, he doesn't know how that person did it. And it's a little convoluted to use poisonous snakes as a weapon.
Yes.
There are easier ways to kill people.
Yes.
But Scully says, okay, well, in that case, it could be some sort of a symbol because snakes can be a religious symbol. They've been used throughout history to represent evil and Satan. So she's cueing into the themes of the episode before even Mulder does.
She said Mulder. Didn't you see the title of the episode, Signs and Wonders? Come on.
Yes. I guess, I mean, Scully is chosen by God canonically multiple times.
That's true.
So maybe he's given her a little heads up this time.
This is the one where she's been in the loop.
Mm-hmm.
Like time loop.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the loop.
The loop.
The loop from God.
Yeah.
Was she in the loop, the show with Peter Capaldi?
Background actor,
Cool.
And she also was riding the subway in Glasgow, which I believe sometimes people call the loop. I sure hope that's true.
Okay, I guess In the Loop was actually the movie.
The show is
the thick of it.
You're right.
Yeah, yeah. Whatever. It doesn't matter.
It's fine. Yeah. I mean, Gillian Anderson actually could have been in it. I haven't seen the thick of it.
I don't think she is.
Okay.
She's
British now. She could do that.
Sure, why not? Well, she was then, right?
I know. I'm kidding. Doesn't
she have dual citizenship, right?
I think so.
Yeah. We're not here to talk about that. We're talking about snakes. Okay. So, yeah. So, snakes. These snakes might be serving evil itself, Mulder suggests. And Scully asks whether he's going to put that down on their travel request.
Yes.
Number one, not the craziest thing they've ever put down on a travel request.
Absolutely not.
Number two, they still submit travel requests.
I guess. They play by the rules. They play by
Do
the
they?
Book. I mean, they were
Seems
itemizing.
Seems like they just go wherever they want.
They itemized Antarctica. Oh, request. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, it doesn't seem
they
like
they request reimbursements all the time.
That's a good point. No, I see what you mean.
Better to ask permission or the other one.
Yeah, there's no way they get approval.
No.
Ahead of time. You know, you're right.
Yeah.
I was just imagining, reimbursement. Yeah. But
anyway.
That's very silly.
Yes. So Mulder says, no, of course not, Scully. That's silly. I would never request to do anything. However, I think you're right that this case does seem to center on religion. So let's head to Tennessee.
Good old time religion.
Mm-hmm.
So we do cut to Blessing Community Church in Tennessee. And we have a sad looking young pregnant woman named Gracie sitting with our girl, Beth Grant.
Beloved character actress.
You may know her from other things, but what I know her from is Donnie Darko Sometimes I Doubt Your Commitment to Sparkle Motion fame.
Yes.
Which is an amazing line read. You gotta check it out.
She always plays the exact same character in everything she is ever in, and she's very good at it.
Yeah. She was very understated in this.
She was
religious, and she was Southern, but she was not psychotic.
That's true.
Which she normally is.
Yeah. And I guess we do have to note, because it will be important later, this church that we're in now is a very nice, polite, sedate Protestant church.
Boring as hell. I called it boring church.
That's fair. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yep.
And yes. Yeah, so the sad young pregnant woman and old.
I called her Beth Grant.
Beth Grant, who seems to be like motherly towards her. We see the preacher stop by and tell Gracie that the dead man, Mr. Wayne himself, is in a better place. Always really helpful to hear. And Beth Grant tells Gracie very reassuringly, like, yeah, the preacher's right. He is in a better place. Because Blessing sucks. Oh, there's like a bass drop.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
No, that's silly.
Not really Beth Grant's style.
No. And that's that. So Wayne's funeral.
Sad. Well, outside the church later, Mulder and Scully arrive and they talk to the Reverend. I just called him Reverend Mackey.
I did too. Yeah. Nothing interesting.
The good Reverend. So we think.
Okay.
Yes, so Reverend Mackey. So they walk up, they ask about Wayne and the Reverend. Yes, the Reverend Mackey's. He says that he already talked to the sheriff about it. The non-existent sheriff that we never see, along with the non-existent medical personnel.
This is a quiet town.
It really is. So the Reverend does say that he did have some suspicions about how Wayne died, and then he hesitates a little bit, theatrically, yeah, perhaps in retrospect. He says that he is the last person who would ever say a bad word or point a finger because his church is based on tolerance and acceptance and respect. But... I mean, that was basically it. Yeah. So, but before Wayne came to this church, he used to belong to a fundamentalist congregation outside of town, the Church of God with Signs and Wonders, and they're a little bit wild. They practice snake handling.
Nice.
So it's a little different than this place. So that church believes that the Holy Spirit protects the righteous even when they handle the snakes or drink the venom. So they sound pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
I want to like check them out. So Wayne grew up in that church, and Reverend Mackey says that it's very, very hard to walk away from that kind of belief, and it takes great courage, and he's real, real proud of Wayne.
Oh, yeah.
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 And so Mulder asks why Wayne did leave, and the Reverend says that Wayne and Gracie, his girlfriend, left together because they just decided that that kind of church was not for them anymore. But again, though, you know, it's not for him to judge.
Yeah.
He doesn't judge anyone.
No. But that church sucks.
That's the subtext. Mm. So he does mention that both Wayne and Gracie have been very persecuted by members of their former church since then. So that sounds like a good motive.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
And most of this persecution is actually coming from that church's leader, Reverend Enoch O'Connor.
That's a great name.
It sure is. And then Scully asks whether there was enough bad blood to inspire murder, and the Reverend doesn't answer, but, you know, he's leading them down this path.
He winks.
Yes, he does.
Theatrically.
Yeah.
He does not. But basically. So the Boo crew head to the other church, Fun Church, as I called it, Signs and Wonders, etc. And, you know, they've got a hand-painted sign with a Bible verse out front. It just looks a little more down homey, run down.
It's a real country church.
Authentic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they go inside. It seems to be pretty dark and empty. Oh, I'm sorry. We do also get... Mulder does make a joke about Catholic schoolgirls who are good at snake handling at one point. Which, I don't know. Anyway, so the Boo crew knock. There's no answer, so they go inside, and then we see that it's dark and empty. Like, there's clearly no congregation here right now. There's no services happening right now, and they probably don't even have electricity, it seems like, because it is quite off the grid. So it's a great excuse for the Boo crew to get out their flashlights for the first time in a while.
It's fun.
This one does feel a little more Vancouver-y than they have recently.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
We, you know, see in flashlight, so it's like a spooky video game. There's like the baptismal font or tub or whatever. There's some medieval art of damnation, the whole shebang.
Nice.
It looks like a real, what would you call it? What, not thunder, something in...
Fire and brimstone?
Fire and brimstone. Thank you.
Yeah.
kind of place.
Hell yeah.
Not a fun, well, no, it is a fun church. But focusing on, like, the damnation part.
Yeah.
Skelly does not seem to be very impressed. She's judging hard. She's, like, making some snide comments about how snake handling isn't part of her religion. And Mulder's like, I don't know, is it any weirder than transubstantiation? And she looks so offended.
She does.
Which, in Mulder's defense, is it any weirder than transubstantiation?
I mean, he's not totally wrong.
I mean. Yeah. But she does also rightfully say, sounds like flying saucers, bitch. Or believing in flying saucers.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
You know, they're sniping at one another a little bit.
Sure.
But good-heartedly, I guess.
I guess so.
I don't know. We do see a silent snake slither into the church near Scully.
Oh, boy.
But she doesn't notice yet. There's a lot of S's, which is hard for me.
Wait, can we say that Scully is so mad she's about to take Mulder to Catholic school?
Oh.
She's not just going to take him to school. Yeah. She's going to take him to Catholic school.
Dang, wrap his knuckles with the ruler.
Maybe.
I
don't know.
He'd be into it. We see there is a cage where Enoch O'Connor clearly holds his snakes for the most part, but it is empty, which Scully rightly points out is actually a very bad sign. Because where are the dang snakes?
Yep.
And then a bunch of snakes, like, rush out of the corner at them. The Boo crew have their guns out.
The snakes were waiting for them to notice.
Dramatic irony.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've got their guns on the snakes. They're freaking out. They're surrounded. And suddenly Enoch O'Connor himself arrives at the front door, silhouetted by the light outside, face still in shadow.
Nice.
And he says, "By what right are you here?"
Well, that's not his accent.
I know. "By what right are you here?"
That's more like it.
The Boo crew introduce themselves basically without taking their eyes off of those dang snakes because it's quite scary.
He's not in any hurry to do anything about it.
No. He does not care. He is, you know, like, if they're righteous, they'll be fine. Whereas Mulder is like, I might not be righteous. I could really actually use some help here, to be honest. So Enoch does slowly start picking up the snakes by his hand. And as he is doing that, the Boo crew ask him about Wayne. And, I don't know, he talks about how Wayne strayed from the light of the Lord and all of that stuff, et cetera, et cetera. You know, you've heard the spiel. And Mulder is like, well, he did die of a bunch of snake bites. And, you know, you've got snakes. I'm just asking the question, if that's okay. And Enoch is like, snakes are a test of faith, of righteousness.
Hell yeah.
When the devil aims to test you, you best be ready. And you sure better know which side you're on. And Scully's like, is that the devil's test or your test?
Oh.
Did you murder him, basically?
Yeah.
And Enoch is like, you're on the side of the devil. You got to get out of here. Which is rude. You can't just tell someone they're on the side of the devil.
No, that's not cool.
It's not polite.
Yeah.
And, you know, they leave, I guess.
Screaming and crying.
Yes. They're not happy.
Yeah.
I don't think Scully or Mulder enjoyed those snakes.
No. I mean, I wouldn't either. So
cute.
Oh, my God. Well, they walk out of the church. Scully snarks at Mulder for dragging her all the way down here to Tennessee with all these snakes. And so Scully is now like, yeah, he's definitely our most likely suspect. And Mulder says, sure, it does seem that way. But the local police did rule him out because he was in Kentucky the night that Wayne died. So that's a pretty good alibi. And Scully says, well, he might have ordered it and one of his other congregation could have actually done the deed. And Mulder's like, yeah, maybe. But Wayne did die with a packed suitcase, so we really need to figure out where he was headed and who he was going to talk to.
That's a good point.
Follow them clues.
Mm-hmm. Scully, there's a big blue paw print on the suitcase.
Exactly.
So we go back to Boring Church. We see Gracie and Beth Grant. Gracie still looks sad. It's like she's not even over it yet. It's been like a week maybe.
Yeah.
Come on.
Get over
it. Beth Grant goes to talk to the Reverend Mackey when he arrives for some sort of a study hall, I think. Is this the study hall already?
Yeah, just like,
okay,
Bible study.
Yeah, yeah, there's like a Bible study. Okay, I was trying to remember if that came later in the episode because I didn't write it down.
Wow.
Would have been helpful. So, yeah, he's arriving for this Bible study and Beth Grant pulls him over to the side and asks to talk about Wayne because apparently Wayne called the boarding house the night he died and he really wanted to talk to Gracie. But Beth Grant did not let him because it was super late. Gracie was already asleep, and it sounded like he had been drinking. But now Beth Grant feels very guilty about the fact that on his last night on Earth, he didn't let him speak to Gracie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Reverend Mackey is like, well, you probably should have told the police, first of all. But second, I'll help you talk to Gracie, but I gotta do some boring-ass Bible study first.
And he says that.
Yes.
Out loud.
And then he's got Heelys on, and he Heelys away
yeah,
with sunglasses
yeah.
on.
That's too cool for him.
I know, he's not cool.
No. Well, so we cut back to the Church of Signs and Wonders. They're having a service, and they're having a great old time. Mm-hmm. There's country music. There's guitars playing. Reverend Enoch is really jazzing up the crowd. He's reading from the Bible. It's all very fire and brimstone. There's lots of hollering and hallelujah-ing from the audience. He's talking about, you know, if God thinks that you're lukewarm, he will vomit you right out of his mouth.
Oh.
Reverend Enoch really gets the most out of every single vowel.
He really does.
You know,
there are syllables that don't even exist in words yes. that he's pronouncing. It's, and I love that for him.
It's pretty incredible.
It's great.
Yeah. I mean, I gotta be real pretty into this.
He walked so Boyd Crowder could run.
Yes, very true. So yeah, so this, I mean, they're, everyone here is very, very into this. They're all, whatever, they're jazzed up.
They're praising Jesus.
They are. Mm-hmm. And then we smash cut to the Blessing Community Church where, Reverend Mackey is very calmly reading the very same passage about the lukewarm, and they're all very politely discussing it like a book club. Mm-hmm. Pretty good juxtaposition.
It is pretty funny.
And he's like, you know, this may sound a little harsh, but let's put it in historical context, okay, everybody?
Boring.
Boo. And everyone's like, this sucks. Boo. I'm going out of town. And meanwhile, while they're all doing that, Beth Grant is in the corner, like, stapling church pamphlets or something. Yeah. I don't know what she's doing.
I think that's exactly it.
Yes. So back at Signs and Wonders, Reverend Enoch is laying on hands. Members of the congregation are convulsing. They're going into religious ecstasy. And then Enoch is like, it's time for the snakes. You know, God wants you on fire. He wants you to put your money where your mouth is. So he pulls out the snakes and everybody in the audience seems very into it. Mm-hmm. Nobody seems like afraid of it. Enoch says that he handles snakes because scripture tells him to. And he starts like, convulsing. How do you describe what he's doing?
I don't know.
Convulsing.
Feeling it.
Twerking.
I mean, he does
shake that ass.
He shakes
a little
that
bit.
Ass quite a bit, and it's quite nice.
Yeah. That's the real reason why everyone's here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you?
I guess. Listen, he's got style.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one thing you can say about him.
Mm-hmm.
Back at the church, Beth is stapling more pamphlets, and then we're cutting back and forth. We see Enoch pull out a snake. He's holding one in each hand, and then we, like, smash cut to, from a snake's open mouth to a stapler remover. Nice cut.
That was pretty cool.
Thank you, Kim.
They do look like little snakes.
They do. I've always said it, me and every kid in the world.
Yeah.
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 So Beth is holding the stapler remover, and then suddenly it, like, turns into a snake and bites her on the hand. So she freaks out, she drops it, but then it turns back into a regular stapler remover. But unfortunately, she does have what looks like a snake bite all over her hands.
That's probably fine. I wouldn't worry about it.
Probably bad. Yeah. Back at Signs and Wonders, they're dumping snakes all over the floor. Everybody's holding their snakes. They're
you
singing.
Get a snake. You get a snake. You get a snake.
Basically. Enoch is dabbing his brow. He's telling them to witness the awesome power of God. He's playing this crowd. Everyone is feeling it. We go back to Beth. She's in the bathroom. She's washing off her bloody hands. I do enjoy that she's about to put a Band-Aid on her snake bite. She's like, this suffices.
I assume she thought she just hallucinated and accidentally, like, stabbed herself with the staple remover.
Guess.
But
I guess.
It is very funny. You know, it's an understated reaction.
Yes. Just what Beth Grant would do.
That's
know?
So true.
Yeah. But unfortunately, a snake does come slithering out of that drain. She gets snaked to death.
Not again.
Beth Grant!
No!
We're gonna miss you.
I love her.
Yeah.
Gotta watch Donnie Darko again, among other things.
Good flick.
Great flick.
Yeah.
Well, that sucks. We get an investigation station where the Reverend Mackey is talking to Mulder as Beth Grant's body is wheeled away, and the Reverend says, I have no idea what happened.
I My believe goodness. Him.
I didn't hear a dang thing. That's so weird. Mulder asks Mackey how close Beth was to Wayne, since they're the two snake victims, and Mackey says...
Snake victims.
Yeah. Mackey says, not close at all, but ironic that you should say... It's ironic because, I don't know,
yeah.
It's something, because they were just talking about Wayne, Reverend Mackey, and Beth Grant, but they didn't get to finish their conversation about him, which is interesting. Mm. And Mulder says, ominously, maybe that was the point. Maybe you weren't supposed to finish that conversation.
Could be.
They walk into another room where Scully is sitting with Gracie, who seems to be upset, I would say.
Yes.
Scully tells Gracie that Enoch O'Connor is the prime suspect, and she is weirdly, incredibly insistent that he did not do this. She is very defensive of him. She says this is Satan's work, it is not man's. Scully at one point tries to, like, Jedi mind trick Gracie by being like, that sounds like some stupid bullshit that an idiot would believe, and I know you're smarter than that. Which is, like, rude, but whatever. I don't know. And Gracie still continues to deny that Enoch would have done something like this. Like, wouldn't she know of all people? Which, what the heck does that mean?
I don't know.
And we realize that Enoch O'Connor is Gracie's father.
Hmm.
And apparently he, according to the Reverend, kicked Gracie out when she got pregnant.
Hmm. It's not good.
No. Hmm. So they did not leave of their own accord.
Yes. So Mulder and Scully head back to Signs and Wonders late at night. Didn't they learn their lesson the first time?
Nope.
I guess not.
More snakes.
So Mulder heads inside, but Scully is now too afraid of snakes. So she says she'll check around back. There's snakes around back, too.
Girl, you know there's snakes everywhere.
Mm-hmm. So Mulder is inside. He checks out the inside of the church, and he finds a wall of photos that say, like, pray for the souls lost to us. So there are pictures of Wayne, of Gracie, and of a woman named Alice O'Connor.
Who the heck?
Mom, maybe?
Mama.
Could be.
Whoa. Didn't mean to make you cry.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm...
not back again this time tomorrow?
Yeah, you know, I was trying to make it, like, related to the episode, but I couldn't, so I just stopped.
If I'm not bit by snakes tomorrow...
Carry on. Yep. Okay, nice.
Scully is around back. She finds a creepy trailer. She goes inside. She finds a bunch of cages of mice, perhaps to feed snakes, and then also a bunch of boxes of snakes. Before she has too much time to look at that, Enoch shows up behind her. He wrestles the gun out of her hand and then, like, pushes her back towards the box. He, like, shoves her down and says that she must be judged. And he, like, grabs her hand and then pushes it inside of a box right towards a snake. No thank you.
Yeah, it's very rude.
I don't appreciate this, I will
say.
I
don't think you should do that to to women.
No.
You know?
Or to anyone,
no,
really.
No, it does.
Yes.
That's Joshin.
And so, yeah, whatever. He's telling her to repent. Scully's freaking out. We're all freaking out. But then Mulder rushes in. He points his gun and tells Enoch to let her go. And he does. Scully's safe for the moment.
She gets up real fast.
Yeah, she,
and she closes that box.
I would.
I know, but it's just impressive.
Yeah.
So we cut to the sheriff's office again after dark. And
hell yeah.
No sheriff to be seen, I don't think.
Nope.
Mulder is interviewing Enoch. It's shadowy, it's evil. Enoch is saying,
like, a pitch black room with one light.
Yeah.
I love
very
it.
Evil.
Yeah.
It's got atmosphere.
Yeah.
And I love that. Enoch is like, shame you stopped me. Scully could learn something about her righteousness. And Mulder steers the conversation to this Alice O'Connor that he found. She was his wife and she died of, you're not gonna believe this.
Okay.
Snake bite.
I'm shocked.
Oh, my Lord. Mulder basically accuses Enoch of killing her and getting away with it. And then Enoch gets, I feel like he's projecting a little bit here because he starts talking about Mulder. He's like, you're an educated man, too smart for your own good. And he, like, really keeps hitting this a lot. Do you think Mulder, like, started the conversation by being like, yeah, I went to Oxford?
I think he just like exudes
defensive.
It.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, he can smell the yacht on him.
Yeah.
I
will say I do enjoy Enoch. He's like lit where like the wings of his glasses look like demonic eyebrows or something.
It's quite evil.
Very into it.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's quite good.
Yeah. He does call Mulder proud and fancy free.
Yeah, he does.
Which is like, I don't think that's descriptive.
That's not a man who's proud or fancy free, frankly.
No.
I don't know. Like in addition to the cool shadows, Enoch also just like, I feel like he's like, he's got like a serpentine vibe to him. He's like not bald but balding, and his like eyes are kind of like in weird shadows, so they look sort of dark, and he's like hitting his sibilant sounds.
He's lizardy,
snake likely. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Snake likely, that's what I say when I go into the Mojave Desert.
It's Blake Lively's Twitter handle during October.
Sure. Why not?
I don't. For a lot of reasons. Why not? Yes. So Mulder is like, wow, I guess nobody's good enough for you. You just love your Old Testament revenge. And Enoch mentions that he's like, you know, he's praying for Gracie's soul because she's with the devil or whatever. And then he keeps coming back to the educated thing. He's like, you think because you're educated, you're better than us? Because you ain't. Which, you know.
I feel like that was a fairly smart observation about Mulder.
Yeah.
He does.
He does.
He does think he's smarter.
That's fair. That's fair.
Especially like in the religion episodes.
That's true.
So,
you know, he's getting called out.
I feel like this one, he hit the nail on the head with that one.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mulder definitely thinks he's better than them.
Yes. Scully does too.
Yes, but not specifically about religion.
I feel like she thinks Catholicism's better than whatever they're doing. She's made snide comments so far.
That's true.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But who knows? But that's fair.
God does.
Oh. Interesting. But Enoch is just like, listen, unless you're smart in your heart, the devil's going to make a fool of you, and you're not even going to know it.
Yeah.
Interview done.
Yeah. So we cut to Gracie worrying in the hallway. She is talking to Scully, and Gracie is now saying that she doesn't want to see Enoch anymore because she really doesn't think that she will be able to get him to talk. So she kind of walks away, and as she's going, Scully asks whether Gracie really doesn't think that Enoch did it, and Gracie says that it doesn't matter what she believes because Enoch will be judged either way. It's not in her hands or their hands. It's in God's hands.
Who?
Just kidding. Come on now.
Is that funny?
Scully and me just sigh.
Okay, that's,
we yeah. both sigh.
That's fair.
Yes,
that's fair.
Yes,
I
yes.
deserve that. Later on at nighter, I guess, later at night in the jail.
You know, nighter.
Because it already felt like it was like 4 a.m.
Yeah.
But anyway, later in the jail, Enoch is in his cell snoozing, nary a guard to be seen. I don't think there's staff in this prison or jail.
There's like five people that live in this whole town.
Yeah, this is pretty wild. And he suddenly awakens in his cell and he stands up and puts his hand dramatically on the floor and a bunch of snakes appear. They slither up to him, surrounding him, hissing. It's spooky. And, Enoch is just, he's kneeling down, glasses off, and he starts praying desperately. And we get a kind of cool aerial shot of him in his cell surrounded by this circle of snakes.
Yeah.
Spooky.
Probably not good for him.
No, unless he's controlling them.
Unless. We'll find out.
Unless.
Well, we smash cut to the ICU, and Enoch has been bitten a million times.
Yeah, it probably wasn't good for him. Fair enough.
He's unconscious. He's not looking good.
Yikes.
Mulder and Scully arrive, so they're talking about how nobody knows when or how he was attacked, probably because there were no staff in the sheriff's station to see when he was attacked.
That'll do it.
So Scully is saying that it's looking less and less like he is their suspect, and Mulder says, yes, unless he managed to do this to himself as a test of his own righteousness, which, you know, knowing this guy, maybe.
Yeah.
You never know. So Scully says that, unfortunately, it is a toss-up as to whether Enoch is going to live or die. He is not receiving any anti-venom treatment because Gracie stepped in and said that he wouldn't want it and it's up to God whether he lives or dies. And that's like, that's what he would have wanted if he was awake. So Scully is a little suspicious of this. She's starting to wonder whether Gracie is really the one doing it, because Gracie did say 1 second before her father was attacked that he was going to be judged by God, and she grew up around snakes.
Mm-hmm.
She probably knows how to handle them.
Mm-hmm.
And Mulder says maybe she would have been angry enough to go after her father, but what about Wayne? What about Beth Grant? They're lovely.
Who would
Nobody
kill
would
Beth
ever
Grant?
Want to hurt them.
I should hope not.
Yeah.
So the Boo crew go to check out Wayne's house. Wayne tried to leave with a packed suitcase, and we know he wanted to talk to Gracie before he died, and we know he was scared. So what was all this about? Mulder, I don't know, he just starts like waxing poetic about how he can see the appeal of a culture with a strong, clear set of rules, like this church that they left, and Skelly's like, it's an intolerant culture. And Mulder's like, I don't know, sometimes a little intolerance is good. It's like it's clear cut, it's black and white, and it can be reassuring to some people in our modern crazy world to have someone else tell us, you know, what's right and what's wrong and have really clear boundaries. And Scully's like, oh, okay, yeah, Mulder, I believe it. So you want someone to tell you what to believe? She seems unimpressed.
Yes, yes.
I would say. And he's like, no, no, no. I just understand that someone might maybe theoretically find it appealing if someone came up to them and said they were going to offer them all the answers. I don't know, theoretically. I would never have experienced that.
This is like the most open-minded that Mulder has ever been to religion specifically.
That's true. Because now he's with Scully. He can't be as much of an asshole anymore.
Oh, there you go. He can't, that can't fly anymore.
Exactly.
Or it's very cultish, and as we all know, Mulder should be in a cult.
He would. He could go to this church. He couldn't. He wouldn't fit in.
No, but like another cult.
Yeah.
We need to get Mulder in a cult ASAP.
Join our Kickstarter to get Mulder into a cult.
Uh-huh.
It's important.
He should have been in a cult.
Mm. Oh, well.
One day.
Maybe. I mean, are they doing another season?
I don't think
but
so.
But it's just Mulder in a cult.
I would watch that, actually.
Jillian's like, I'm done, yeah. But you can do what you want, Duchovny.
Sure.
Okay, so they're having their religion talk. Yes, Mulder is being open-minded, and it's like, I assume, do we think that he, as a character, is connecting this to his experience of all of the times he's fallen for people telling them that they have all the answers? Or is it just metatextual?
I think you can read into it. Yeah. Yeah.
So Mulder does lean down and pick up that crumpled piece of paper that we saw Wayne try to throw away at the beginning.
Just that big S.
Yeah.
He crumpled up because he messed up one of the lines. He's like, God damn it.
I hate when that happens.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's so embarrassing. Mm-hmm. And then Mulder and Scully just laugh and laugh. They're like, whoa, did he ever hang out on a playground?
Yeah.
What is this dork?
Yeah.
It's medical lab test.
Oh, okay.
And we see that Wayne had himself tested for sterility, I think, and he is. So he's not the father of Gracie's baby, basically. So that's interesting. Was he killed because he discovered that truth?
Seems like it.
Hmm.
Well, Gracie is back at Enoch's bedside, and Reverend Mackie comes in to talk to her. So Mackie is asking Gracie to reconsider Enoch getting treatment, and Gracie says no. But Mackie points out that her father could die without treatment. Gracie is adamant that this is what Enoch would really want, and he would think it is a sin to not trust God as to whether he's going to live or die. And Reverend Mackie is like, well, you know, there are a lot of ways to trust God. One of them is to trust in doctors.
Mm-hmm.
But Gracie is not having it.
Mm-mm-mm.
And then Mackie kind of looks into her soul, and he's like, in your heart of hearts, do you really just not want him to get better? Is that what this is about?
I mean, fair.
And he says that when Gracie first came to him, she told him that she really wanted to think for herself and live her life how she saw fit. And if she stands here and lets her father die, then whose beliefs is she really living? Hers or Enoch's?
Damn.
Gracie looks shaken. And then she does nod. She attests to the treatment. And Mackie goes to tell the doctor. Considering what we know later, learn later, why would he want her to save Enoch?
It's just what I was wondering.
It doesn't really make sense, does it?
No, because wouldn't he want him to be dead?
Yeah.
Does he want him to live so he can torture him more?
Maybe. That might be it.
But it is strange.
I feel like it doesn't really track.
No.
But whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. I don't think it makes sense.
No. Oh, well. So he leaves to go talk to the non-existent doctors at this empty-ass hospital.
Yes.
There are no other doctors. There are no other patients. There are no other visitors.
Nope.
What is this place?
But they have anti-venom, so that's good.
They do. I mean, they're in Tennessee. You gotta have anti-venom.
You don't have patients, but you have anti-venom. You know? That makes sense.
You don't have any patients because you have all the anti-venom, so you've gotten rid of all the patients.
Gotten rid of them, huh?
Well, in that positive way.
In the positive way. Yeah. Yes.
So, Mackie leaves, and then the second that he leaves, Enoch's monitors start going nuts, and then he starts, like, oozing pus out of all of his snake bites, and it's really gross.
Gross as hell.
It's pretty disgusting. And then he opens his eyes and grabs Gracie's hand very violently. So, oh my God, I'm scared.
She's gonna die.
Sounds like it.
The boot crew arrive at the hospital. seconds after this has all happened, and Mackie is like, oh my god, Enoch and Gracie are gone. I was only away from his bed for 5 minutes. What's going on? Everyone's really confused. We do actually see some medical personnel now, but it still feels
they kind of
really
run
empty.
Away really fast.
Yeah. They're not doing much. They're not reacting really.
Yeah.
So that's strange. And Mackie is like, I don't know what happened, and I hate gossiping. But Wayne was not the father. And Mulder's like, that's such fucking old news. You think we don't know that Wayne wasn't the father? What do we look like, chumps? Come on. Mm-hmm. We learned that 5 minutes ago. And Scully intuits that Mackie is implying.
Wait. Mackie says this, and then he leaves a very pregnant pause.
Ah.
If you think about it. Oh, sensible. Oof. Chuckle.
That was great.
Thank you.
But Mackie is implying,
yes,
that Enoch is the father.
Yes.
Which is gross as hell.
Yes.
So, interesting. Yeah. So, that's why she wanted to leave his church, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting a lot of different stories here.
We sure are. So, we cut to Enoch, who is now totally fine. No, absolutely no sign of all the snake bites anymore.
But there's a sign of God's grace.
That's of wonder.
And wonder.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he healed real quick.
Yep.
But that's fine. That's what religion will do for you.
I assume it was an X-File situation.
Yes, I think so. So, yeah, so I guess he is a righteous man, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, but what is not so righteous about him is he is wrestling Gracie into the church. The congregants are all here. They're all creeping in the dark with candles. It's all very spooky and scary. So they all just kind of wrestle Gracie through the crowd, and everybody just watches on impassively as she begs for help. It's all very scary. Enoch starts preaching, and he like dunks Gracie in the water to baptize her. He tells her to resist the devil, and then Gracie gets up, and she says that something is wrong with the baby.
Uh-oh.
Yikes. So they shove her onto the ground. Everyone surrounds her with their evil candles. It's all very creepy. And then Enoch starts praying. He's like, please, Jesus, please deliver this woman. He's really putting some peanut butter on all this. Mm-hmm. Gracie starts screaming. And then we see that there's like something squirming inside of her stomach. It does not look like a baby.
No.
Yikes. And then it's just, yeah, snakes. Snakes just pour out of her.
She just gives birth to a bunch of snakes.
It's pretty disgusting. They're just like everywhere. And then Enoch starts praying. It's more like an exorcism.
Yeah.
It's turned into a bit of an exorcism. Mm-hmm. I guess it's good that the snakes are gone now.
Yeah, that seems positive.
You know, snakes inside you, you don't want them. Snakes outside of you, that's where you want them.
It's better, for
so,
sure.
So, you know, problem solved.
That's my preference.
I guess.
Thanks, Enoch.
It's pretty creepy little scene.
Yeah, it's gross.
Yeah.
Investigation station, the Boo crew arrive after this has happened, and we see that Gracie is understandably in some shock.
Yes.
And she's had a lot of loss of blood. There are paramedics there, but and police, actually. We do finally see a cop.
Mm-hmm.
But the congregation is not talking. They're not going to say what happened last night. Mulder calls Scully over to look at the blood pool on the floor. They can see the outline of little snakes slithering away in blood prints.
Ew.
Which is gross. And Mulder looks over at a congregant who is standing by the cop, and Mulder says, did she give birth to snakes? And the cop is just completely unfazed by this question.
Yeah.
He's just like, yeah, shit happens, man.
Listen, he's been around signs and wonders for a while.
Yeah.
He knows.
Like, sure. And Mulder goes off to find Enoch while Scully stays behind to take Gracie to the hospital in the ambulance.
So back at the Blessing Community Church, Reverend Mackey is tidying up. Enoch walks in, and he looks pissed.
Mm-hmm.
He tells Mackey that he stole what was most precious to him. And Mackey says, actually, Gracie came to me of her own free will. She wanted to escape a life of intolerance. She fled a harsh and vengeful God, and she fled you.
Whoa.
Enoch does not take this very well. No. He starts chanting under his breath and then gets a giant Bowie knife out and shoves the good reverend.
Yikes.
To the ground. So I'm very worried about this good, righteous man.
He never did anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But will he be okay if he's righteous?
I guess he would be okay from snakes, okay. But not from man.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay,
I have no idea. I don't know how it works.
It doesn't.
So, yes, so that's not good, but Mulder arrives in the nick of time. He sees this. He warns Enoch to put down the knife. Enoch doesn't, so Mulder shoots him in the shoulder. So, phew, day saved, right?
Everything's good. Okay.
Mackie gets up. He's very shaken. Enoch's not dead. He's just shot. So, you know, like, X-File over, I guess.
Nice.
We're all good.
All right.
Everyone take a breath.
Yeah.
Nice.
I guess there's just one little last piece. Mm-hmm. I guess this is like a coda, probably. In the ambulance, Scully is listening to Gracie, you know, like in her fever dreams, calling for her daddy, which seems strange since he just did this to her. And she kind of like comes awake, sort of in and out of consciousness. And she tells Scully that her daddy actually saved her. He was not the one who hurt her. Scully looks confused. So maybe this episode isn't quite over yet.
Mm.
Interesting.
Wow.
I did not see this coming.
You did.
I did.
Yeah.
So we go back to Boring Church where Mackie is like, I'll call for an ambulance. And he rushes into another room while Mulder holds some like towels to Enoch's bullet wound, I guess.
Sure.
And Enoch is like, I told you, boy, you still don't know what side you're on. Be smart. Down here. And then he touches Mulder's heart.
Mm-hmm.
So Mulder's like, okay. I'm going to listen to my heart.
All right.
So he walks over to the other room where Mackie was he's getting off the fakest phone call.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
He's just like, oh yeah, okay, thank you, please hurry, bye. And then hangs up the phone. And you can like hear the burr, burr, burr sound in his ear because he's had the phone off the hook for too long. And Mulder is like, I just was told to listen to my heart. And he pulls out a gun. And he's like, you killed Wayne. He accuses Mackie of being the father of Grace's baby, not Enoch. And he's like, okay, so that's why you killed Wayne. You killed Beth Grant because maybe she was like catching on to what you were about. Or I don't know, maybe you just wanted to frame Enoch even more. And he's like, why are you just so obsessed with killing and taking down Enoch? Oh my God, get a life. And Mackie's like, are you a righteous man, Mulder? Which is ominous to hear from a guy who controls snakes, I guess we've learned now.
Yep. His whole demeanor changes.
Yeah, he gets kind of evil.
Yes.
And Mulder just kind of like squints at him. And then suddenly the doors close dramatically. And then snakes appear and attack Mulder. And
uh-oh.
I guess he's getting put to that righteousness test. Do we think Mulder can pass?
I don't know.
Ugh.
We'll find out.
R.I.P.
Scully arrives at the church. She finds Enoch on the ground. She asks where Mulder is, and then she hears him scream from the other room. And Enoch kind of grabs her hand and says that Mulder can't be helped. This is his test and his test alone. Scully's not going to stand for that.
No.
So she goes and tries to kick the door down. Inside, poor Mulder is crawling along the floor. He's been bitten a few times. He's being menaced by more snakes. Mackie is just watching this whole thing impassively. Scully bursts inside, and then Mackie is gone, and so are all of the snakes. She watches the last one slither away, so she starts caring for Mulder, who passes out. Enoch kind of stumbles into the room. All right. Okay. I mean,
okay.
I guess the people we care about are okay, but the Reverend got away.
And it was Mackie the whole dang time.
Mm-hmm.
That's an X-File for you. So we cut to Mulder in a hospital room. Scully walks in and tells him that they have found absolutely no trace of Mackie anywhere. Almost like he slithered away, like
ooh,
the devil.
Nice.
Mulder thinks that Mackie is literally the devil and they're not going to catch him because he's too slick. And Scully is like, nah, he's just a man, Mulder. But Mulder also sardonically is like, if this was a test, I guess I failed. Guess I'm not righteous. And Scully's like, I don't know, you're still alive. You could be righteous.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Proud and fancy free.
He's so proud and fancy. He's not.
He's neither.
It's nothing.
He's really neither.
I guess he's more proud than fancy free.
I get. He's really not that proud, though.
No.
He has faults, but I wouldn't say that was one of them.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. But he's fine.
That's his Twitter bio.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
I think his Twitter bio is just a bunch of emojis.
Yeah.
Right?
He seems like he would use a lot of emojis.
I think so. Yeah. And I love that for him.
I mean, same, to be honest. I feel like I use a lot.
Well, listen.
I'm old. It's my right.
Sure. Well, back in, or not back in.
No.
In Hamden, Connecticut for the first time.
Oof.
We are at a brand new church. There is a woman. She's interviewing Mackie, or I guess he's interviewing her. They're introducing each other. But he is going by a different name now. And this woman is thanking him for being so open-minded. It seems like he is the new reverend of this church. And she is very happy to have him.
Ugh.
So she leaves, and so this is not good. The reverend has moved on. I will say Connecticut is a completely different vibe than Tennessee. Not a lot of snake handling here, so no. I don't know how he's going to do his thing.
No, but more power to him.
So once he is alone, Mackie gets out a box. He pulls a live mouse out. He, throws his head back, opens his mouth, and a big old snake just slithers out of his throat, eats the mouth, and then just snaps back into his mouth. Satan?
Oh, my lord. Dark lord.
Fiend.
Well, that's
spooky. Evil lives on.
We've got us a sanguinarium ending over here.
We sure do.
Uh-oh. And a damning critique of the Christian faith. How and how they move reverends around after they abuse congregants.
I guess.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's more a Catholic thing.
That's more a Catholic thing.
Sorry. Yeah. I also don't think they were making a statement.
No, I don't think so.
In any way, shape, or form.
I don't think so.
No.
But he is evil.
Yes.
And he got away with it.
Yes.
Yikes.
Just like me.
Just like you?
Well, let's go on. Let's move on to the next segment.
Oh my god, a snake is coming out of her mouth right now. That would be really cool.
Wouldn't that be scary if I had done that? I should have set that up.
I would be so into that.
Yeah, I'll try. Next time.
Next time.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
What if it's like one of those, stuffed snakes that you can get at museum gift shops? You know, like
Yeah.
What if it's just that?
Okay,
instead of
well,
a real
that's
snake?
Not as cool.
That feels like more my vibe, right?
I guess. I would rather it be a real snake. But, like, whatever you have to do.
I'm just saying, it feels like more what I would do.
Oh, it is, I guess. I was just hoping for a real snake. But it's fine if you want to do a lame stuffed snake. That's fine.
What if I meet you halfway and do one of the ones that's, like, full of, I don't know, not like sand, but, you know, the, like, dense ones? It's, like, still a toy, still covered in cloth, but it's, like...
Not as good as a real one. Sorry.
I don't know what you want. You're being so unclear. I don't know what you want from me. Uh-huh. I wish you would just communicate.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'll work on that.
Okay. Thank
you. Okay. Well, that's the episode.
Okay.
Can we please move on to Who the Crew?
I want to talk about the episode again.
Okay.
So we open in Blessing, Tennessee.
I think we already did that.
It's a dark and stormy night.
It is.
We go into a house. There's
Wait. No, we're moving on.
Okay, we can move on.
I decree it. I'm pulling rank.
Motion second. Wait, what? Do you have rank over me on the podcast? I guess you are a veteran.
I guess.
Wow.
I guess that's not the right. I'm making an executive decision.
Okay.
I'm making an executive decision.
What if I want to be an executive too?
You can't. I've made the executive decision that you're not.
Wait, can I do that to my boss?
I think so.
Oh,
yeah. Nothing's stopping you.
That's true.
Actually, there's a lot of things stopping you.
I could do it though. I would just get
you could say it. You couldn't do it. You couldn't make it happen.
No.
You could say the words.
Yeah.
There's nothing stopping you from doing that.
You're right.
I don't think you can just declare that your boss isn't your boss anymore.
What if I did that? I mean, I'm a notary. I could notarize it.
Okay.
I don't know.
It's not going to stick.
You don't know that.
I do.
That's a powerful stamp.
All right. Well, you try that and you let me know
how
fast you get fired.
Pretty fast.
Yeah.
I consent to us moving on.
Okay.
I second your motion.
Thank you. We're moving on to Who the Crew. Jeffrey Bell wanted to write a, quote, down and dirty horror story about a snake handling church.
Hell yeah.
And you know what? He did.
He did.
He did. He said that the biggest challenge of writing the script was hiding the true antagonist throughout it. We'll talk about this in a second, but I think he perhaps hit it a little too well.
Yeah.
A little too much.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
There could have been some more ambiguity.
A little. So the song when they Signs and I keep wanting to call them Snakes and Wonders.
Yeah, exactly.
It's Signs and Wonders.
Snakes and Wonders.
Snakes and Wonders is I'm going to call them the Snakes and Wonders.
Call them Snakes
That's
and
what
Wonders.
My heart wants to
we
call
We should
them.
Have come up with that earlier. Snakes used that and throughout
Wonders.
The episode.
It's fine. It's fine. So the song being sung by the Snakes and Wonders congregation is May Glory Protect Us. The song was exclusively written for the show by executive producer Paul Rabwin.
Paul?
So he was very involved in the episode's music production. So he like auditioned a bunch of gospel songs to Kim Manners, and Kim Manners didn't like any of them. And Paul is like, I can write one that's better than all of these.
Dang.
And so Kim said yes, and he wrote it, and Kim liked it.
Okay.
So
I gotta
there you
get
go.
The song on Spotify.
It's probably not. Well,
maybe.
You never know.
It might be.
Probably not. Is it on that? There's the X-Files CD with all the
yeah,
music. Is it on
be.
That?
Might be.
I don't know. Was that song from Orison, was that one on it?
I don't know.
The Don't Look Any Further song? I don't know.
I don't know. I'm sorry.
You mean you don't have the track list memorized?
I didn't even know it existed. I just was rolling with you.
Oh.
I didn't know this was a thing.
It's just... whatever the soundtrack to the show.
Okay.
But I don't know what's on it.
I haven't a clue. I've just learned about it. And I'll do my research
okay.
before
Thank
next
you.
Week.
Thank you. So during the casting process, they brought in live rattlesnakes to ensure that anyone they hired was not afraid of snakes.
Fair.
Which is not a bad idea.
It's not a bad idea.
Because it sounds like there was that guy that was like afraid of water that
yes.
they made go in the water.
Yeah, that was messed up.
And I feel like they've done a few things like that. So like,
yeah.
honestly, pretty good idea.
Props on them.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the extras that they, or actors that they hired were very excited to handle real snakes.
All right.
So, but unfortunately, some of the like, the main cast and crew were very afraid of snakes,
oh, no.
so
oh, no.
they did not get that same, including Kim Manners, I guess, and
oh.
David Duchovny.
Oh, no.
Both were afraid of snakes.
Oh.
I feel bad for David Duchovny, but I feel like Kim Manners, I mean, this is another animal.
Yeah,
Kim
he's
Manners
always getting
story.
Forced into these when he does not want it.
I guess so, but it seems like he, I get the vibe that he thrives off of it a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, he knew there were snakes in it, right?
Couldn't
he have been like, I don't want to direct this one?
Yeah, he could have, but I don't know.
Duchovny, though, I don't know what you do about that.
You know, he's stuck with it, I guess.
I guess at least they made Scully be the one who had her hand shoved into the snake thing.
Yes.
For his sake.
Probably.
I don't know.
So the... Michael Childers, the guy who played Reverend Enoch, his father had actually been a snake preacher.
Ah,
so he had, you know, whatever, close and personal knowledge.
In his bones.
Yes. So he had gone to church as a child. He handled snakes. He knew all about it.
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. They used a lot of real snakes in the episode, mm-hmm. so they spent a lot of time with, like, safety meetings and stuff. They said one of the first orders of business was locating the nearest hospital to set.
Fair.
Which is fair. I hope they had medics on hand.
With anti-venom for the snakes that
You would
had.
Assume they would have to.
Legally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they you know, had a lot of precautions. However, a live rattlesnake did escape. And just slithered off and disappeared somewhere. They found it in Kim Manners' office later. So.
Oh, no. Did it know that he was the most scared?
I think so.
That's cruel.
Yeah. And so, yeah. So at any given time, there were between 6 and 50 snakes on the set. And David Duchovny was very afraid of snakes. So, like, in the scene where... like, I guess at the end of the episode where he was surrounded by snakes, that was not David Duchovny.
Okay.
He was miles away.
Oh, yeah?
That was his body double.
That's good. Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
I hope he was, like a mile away, like, with binoculars watching it. Yeah.
Yeah, I assume.
Mm-hmm. I hope so.
That'd
like,
be
with
cute.
The little walkie-talkie.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
I would not move my ear like that.
Move my ear like that?
I know. I chose the wrong body part.
Well, his body double was like flapping his ears, and David's like, I don't do that. I don't do that.
I don't think I can do that. I don't know how you're doing it.
I can't recreate it. Yeah. Mulder does not do that.
No.
Is there a little Dumbo DNA in Mulder's genealogy?
Mulder's or the body doubles?
Well, I was thinking like in the fiction of the show, if Mulder started flapping his ears. I don't know.
I think he's got a little...
Mr. Flying Away.
He's got a little Dumbo in it.
Yeah.
I've always said it.
Yep.
Mulder and Dumbo, similar characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Dumbo's mom. Mulder's got one. I don't know. Pink elephants. Mulder's got drunk that one time.
That's true. I don't think I ever said Dumbo.
It's pretty good. Well, I don't know. I haven't seen it in a long time.
What are we talking about?
I don't know. Where are we?
Snakes. Yeah. David Duchovny is afraid of snakes.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So in various parts of the episode, there were like faux body parts attached to the actors to simulate snake bites. I liked this. So they like recycled a pair of fake arms for Mulder from Dreamland. I don't
know.
When did he have fake arms in Dreamland? I don't remember this.
Wait.
I have no memory of this. But
yeah,
I just like that they have like a pair of fake arms lying around. Like, if we need some Mulder fake arms, we gotcha.
We always have Mulder fake arms.
It's cool. It's
Come
cool.
on.
Huh. I mean, like, it makes sense on a show like this, but I just find it funny.
Yeah, I had a sensible chuckle at that one, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, when they first go into the church and there's all the medieval paintings, or actually, no. I think it's at the end of the episode where he goes to the church in Camden. Because there was some stained glass there too, right? Or am I making that up?
There was stained glass somewhere. I don't remember.
At some point in the episode, there was some stained glass with naked people. And Fox's sensors had some issues with that. So they
made them
like fuzz past it and not show it. And, yes. That was the part of the episode that they had issues with.
That's interesting. Not the pus. What if that was your life? Just doing that.
Yeah. Be
what,
sad.
What sad little freak.
Yes.
Wants to be a censor.
I don't know.
It's tough.
I don't know.
It's tough.
Anyway.
Church is not safe for kids.
I guess.
Apparently.
Apparently. That's what Fox thinks.
Yeah, interesting. Fox, wow. Anti-religious.
I'm gonna write in about this.
Who are you writing to?
Fox.
Okay.
I don't know.
Mulder?
Yes.
It's an X-File.
Yes. Mm. That's all.
Thank you.
Yes.
I feel like I got us off track there in the middle of it, but I appreciate you getting us back
fine.
On.
That's fine.
All right. Well, shall we move into our next segment, which is Blazer Watch, the segment where we talk about the fashion in the episode?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot
in
this one. I mean, Skelly is looking good. She's got her turtleneck on at one point. She's got her long black coat. Like, she's looking fine.
Yeah.
She's looking great.
Yeah.
Other people are looking less great.
Oh? I thought there were some good looks.
There were some good looks, and then there was Mulder's looks.
Oh, okay. I forgot about Mulder's.
Okay.
Well, Beth Grant, stylish.
Ooh.
Loved it. Yes. She has, like, the mean librarian look going on. Mm-hmm. She's got, like, the... I don't know, like an Elvis hairdo.
It's
like
a pompadour.
Pompadour.
In the front and a French twist in the back.
It's very good. She's got like a paisley shirt buttoned up to her neck. She has like a cameo necklace in her collar. Love it.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
She looks stern, severe, and Christian.
Yes.
Basically.
Yeah.
I think Gracie also has like... what Beth Grant probably wore when she was 20 clothing, if that makes sense. Like,
mm-hmm.
It's just the slightly younger version of that, where it's also like little floral designs on dresses with super high necklines and lace collars and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah,
they're modest.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel like I have to leave Reverend Enoch's look for you.
Oh,
legally.
Thank you.
So, so I guess we can talk about Mulder's horrible.
Yeah.
Mulder does show up to the Blessing Church in his like good boy clothes.
Yeah.
Like his Sunday clothes. I don't know if he was like trying to get in good with Scully. He's like, we're going to church. I'm going to be respectful for Scully.
Well, it's so funny. Like, as if a suit wouldn't be appropriate.
Yeah.
but what it's like an understated dark grayish flannel kind of shirt.
It was like a completely normal shirt, but for some reason it just like caught me off guard.
I've never seen Mulder wear anything like
yeah.
this.
Yeah.
It, yeah, it's like a dad who's going to church for the one time a year he goes to church. Mm-hmm. He's like, this is my best shirt.
Yeah.
But he's not a dad who owns a suit.
That feels right.
You know?
Mm-hmm. But it's Mulder owns many suits.
It's just funny that he dressed down for church.
Yeah.
But, okay. And then another Mulder look, just to stay on Mulder. He's got a difficult outfit. At the climax.
Difficult.
I found it difficult to look at. It's a crisp white short sleeved button up shirt.
Okay. Okay.
Over khakis.
Yep.
With a black leather jacket on top.
Yeah, it wasn't the best look.
This was tough for me.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I understand.
I didn't like when he took off the jacket and then it was a short sleeved.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't great. You're not wrong.
It wasn't even a Mormon missionary looks cooler than this, because at least they have black pants.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what he was.
I don't know. He was trying to impress. He wasn't succeeding, but he was trying.
Oh. I didn't care for it.
Not even giving him points for trying.
No.
Okay.
Go back to your suits.
Well, all right.
Okay. I don't know. Mm. Do you have anyone else before we get into Enoch?
No.
Okay, let's do it.
All right.
He's just like a snake handling preacher. He, mm-hmm. Imagine what that would be.
Yeah.
And it's him.
He's in his Boyd Crowder fit.
So you guys know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Boyd Crowder, season 2, he's in the mine and Raylan comes.
From
to
Justified.
Sorry.
Not everyone. The FX show Justified.
Everybody knows who Boyd Crowder is. If you listen to the show and you don't know who Boyd Crowder get out of my life.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And Raylan goes to talk to Boyd. Boyd's coming out of the mines, and he's got his cute little mining glasses on. They're, like, not safety goggles, I don't think.
They're
just, cute. Like, glasses with a, what do you call that style? It's got, like, the heavier frame on the top.
Yeah. I don't remember. There's a word for it.
Yeah. Anyway. And Enoch has some of those. He's got his shirts buttoned up to the top button, like mm-hmm. Boyd Crowder. I don't know. He's just, like, doing some real Boyd Crowder energy.
He's got, like, short, spiky hair. Existed.
Yeah.
He's got that widow's peak going.
Yeah.
He's going bald a little bit, but, like, in the way that makes you look more distinctive.
Yeah, and cool.
Yeah.
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 It works for him. He didn't have tight, cuffed pants.
That's true.
That was a little Boyd Crowder special.
Yeah. I mean, he's not on Boyd's level.
No, that's true.
But, you know, he's...
He was a predecessor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He was an important milestone. Do you think that Walton Goggins saw this episode and was like, I'm going to do that, but better. I'm going to stand
Probably
on the
not.
Shoulders of giants.
Probably not.
It's the X-Files.
It's possible, but I mean, he might have seen it. I don't think that he watched this and specifically thought about, you know,
Fair enough.
Boyd.
Fair enough.
But
I did.
I know.
I'm always thinking about Boyd, though.
I know.
So.
We all are.
Exactly. That's why I didn't feel the need to explain that it was from Justified.
We all are, as in the two of us in this room.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I think that everyone who has seen Justified is thinking of him all the time.
Yes.
But not a lot of people have seen Justified is the thing.
You gotta get on that Justified train.
Yeah.
Join us.
Yeah.
Did we talk about how I finished the last season? I don't remember.
I think so.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Oh, and we watched Dust Boat, but we can talk about that later.
Okay.
Oh, we're done. That was all.
We're done here.
Okay, we're done here. That was all of the fashion. Sorry.
Yes.
I'm snoozing at the wheel. Let's go into FBI Do, the segment where we talk about the romantic relationship between the Boo crew. We do it on a doomsday clock scale where 10 minutes to midnight is far from love and 0 minutes to midnight is right in that atomic blast zone of love. I like to give examples from the episode at hand to make sense of that nonsense scale. So who would we say is 10 minutes to midnight in this episode, which is far from love?
I have Mackie and Enoch.
I have Enoch and Mackie.
Mm.
Interesting. Mirrored.
They hate each other so much we can't even decide what order to put their names.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yes. That's pretty easy.
Yeah.
Well, who is 0 minutes to midnight in this episode?
Gracie and snakes?
I guess.
I don't know.
She didn't seem to like him in her tummy.
Yeah, but the snakes liked it. It's a one-sided thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair. I said Beth Grant in playing this type of character.
Yeah.
All right. Well, where would we put the Boo Crew on the scale?
I think we've got a moon.
I know. I was like, there's like a tiny bit of flirtation, but not really.
Yeah. They're pretty much all business this week.
Yeah. What's going on there? I mean, Mulder makes the Catholic schoolgirl reference.
I mean, Mulder was on his best behavior, considering this is a religion episode.
True. That's indicative of something, but I think it's still probably a moon.
Yeah, I think so.
Wow. We haven't had one of these in a while.
Yeah.
Our mom and dad fighting.
I think they're just neutral, you know? They're just on business. That's fair. We're supposed to be coworkers doing a job. Maybe we should try that this week.
Maybe they got a talking to from Skinner after everyone complained to the FBI last week when Mulder was just making snide comments in front of everybody.
That's right.
And Skinner was like, you have to lock that shit down.
Maybe.
You could talk later to Scully about this.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Or this is also part of their games.
Oh,
you know, they're
freaks,
pretending to be normal. That's how sick they are. They're pretending to be normal.
Oh my God.
I know.
I don't even know if I can watch their sick little games anymore.
It's disgusting.
God, making everyone else be a part of this. Filth.
Wow.
No wonder the snakes bit Mulder.
That's right.
Well, I guess that's that. Oh my Lord. It's the monster truck. Oh God, the monster truck is coming.
It's running over a bunch of snakes.
Yes.
That was pleasing to listen to, I'm sure.
It was not. We'll see how bad it is. I might have cut it out. But yes, it's Monster of the Week. Let's talk. Who's this week's monster?
I have Enoch for ripping off Boyd Crowder's look.
But didn't Boyd Crowder come later? Did he not do the ripping?
But I watched this. Well, no, I guess I did watch this before.
Mm-hmm. I think Boyd Crowder's a monster.
I guess so. Okay, all right. It's Boyd Crowder for ripping off Enoch's look.
Why would you say Boyd Crowder's the monster?
Come on now.
So messed up.
Come on now.
How dare you? He's my boy.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can invite you to be co-host of the Boyd Crowder Power Hour podcast.
Wow.
No, I'm just kidding.
Wow, I was there at the ground floor.
I'm kidding. That's our next podcast, everybody. Okay. You've heard it here first, officially. Should I cut that out because that's an amazing name for a podcast and someone might poach it?
I don't know.
I'm just kidding.
It is if we ever do one, you know, we've already got a name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, we have to talk about... I didn't say
mine. What's your monster?
I didn't say
mine. What is going on with you tonight?
I don't know.
Have you been bitten by a snake?
No.
You're all over the place.
I had half a beer.
Oh, my goodness.
I think I have, to make the cookies. I still have to wrap some presents.
I have to pack. Okay.
So I feel like I'm just everywhere.
Fair enough.
That's not very professional, though. Unique New York.
Okay.
Unique New York.
Wonderful.
I didn't have a good monster, so I was hoping we could just skip past that. I just have the costume department for Mulder's fashion choices.
You really hated that. Okay.
I just don't like khakis.
That's fair.
A long-standing and well-established and well-documented dislike of khakis.
Fair enough.
So.
You could never work at Target.
I could never work at Target.
You can wear, tan pants. They don't have to be khakis.
I could wear a tan pant.
They can be, jeans.
I could do that.
Yeah.
I could wear, tan corduroy or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Well, let's move on. Let's talk about our favorite scene or moment from the episode. And this is an odd episode, so what is your favorite scene and or moment from this episode?
I quite enjoyed the juxtaposition of the two services. I would have watched 30 minutes of a Signs and Wonders service. It was great. There was a lot of energy. I'm a sucker for that kind of thing, so loved it.
Same.
It was also, the smash cut was pretty funny.
It was very good.
Yeah.
Too, Let's put it in a historical context.
Yes.
Yes, it was quite good. That was probably mine as well, to be honest. Not to poach yours, but it was gross and I have problems with it that I'll talk about in the next section, but The scene where Gracie gives birth to these snakes is very spooky and scary mm-hmm. and gross. Mm-hmm. And I did appreciate that. So, you know.
Yeah, I will say, I mean, we've talked a lot about the show's issues with pregnancy. Mm-hmm. I kind of liked this. Yeah, it was freaky.
Kind of worked for me.
Yeah, I didn't. I kind of liked it. I don't know.
You get one, Chris.
One. All right.
Okay. Well, let's wrap it up. Let's rate the episode, which we do on a scale of 0 to 5 alien head emojis. What are you giving Signs and Wonders?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot to like in it. I am quite a sucker for this kind of like fire and brimstone, snake handling, religion stuff. You know, I love it. If you stick it in any movie or book or show, I am automatically like 25% more interested than I was before. Mm-hmm. So I will also say this is definitely the darkest and the most horror-y episode this season. Mm-hmm. Orison had some vibes, but I feel like this one is more. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's nice because we really did need one.
Yes.
And I will say, I mean, you know, we're still fairly early into the season, but I'll say season 7 so far just kind of feels like we're just sort of running through the motions in a lot of the episodes. There's not a lot of energy in a lot of these episodes, unfortunately. I feel like this episode has the most energy so far.
Yeah, yeah.
I think. I mean, again, Orison did have some energy.
Yeah. That's 2 out of 9.
That's true. So I did appreciate that. Yeah, I don't know. I loved all the stuff at Signs and Wonders. I thought the exorcism scene was really freaky. You know, it pulled a switcheroo on you. It didn't go the way you thought it was going to go.
That's true.
Enoch was really chewing that scenery in a way that I enjoyed. Again, those vowels.
Those vowels.
I wish I could pull as much out of a vowel as he could.
If only.
Yeah. You know, we get a religion-focused episode that was focused more on Mulder than it was on Scully, which, you know, was an interesting twist, I guess. Because I feel like we don't, like in all the religion episodes, we really don't get much from Mulder's POV. He's always pretty like, this sucks and I don't believe in it. And you're an idiot if you believe in it.
Just over in the corner being an asshole.
Yeah, kind of. So, you know, it was a... Why not switch it up? There's 217 episodes of the show. Let's switch it up.
They can do what they want.
It doesn't always have to be a Scully religion episode, you know? Mm. So, yeah. I feel like we got a little more out of Mulder's thoughts towards religion. And again, it's very, very surprising that Mulder hasn't joined a cult yet, based on his comments
everything
in
about
this episode.
Him.
And everything about him, yes. Since Scully is Catholic, I feel like they could have milked more out of her thoughts towards the different types of, you know, this is a very Protestant episode. Mm-hmm. I feel like we didn't really get too much out of her, like a little bit, but we could have gotten more. There was like so much focus on like the drama and the pizzazz of the snake handling church that the blessing church just looked like comically lifeless and boring in comparison, which like, I guess was like, I don't know if that was the point, really.
I think it was the point, wasn't it?
That it's, like, so boring.
Oh, maybe not.
It just seemed, like, comically just boring and lifeless in comparison. Like, I feel like they didn't really give you any reason to understand, like, what would draw people towards that kind of church. Because it was just so boring. I don't know.
The reverend was...
good.
So charismatic.
Well, you think he wasn't.
Though. I know.
He was polite.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe that's enough for some people.
I guess so. So I wish there had been a little more focus, or not focus, but like a little more with them. I think that part of it was like, I don't know, not as interesting, which again, I guess was sort of the point. It just kind of made me think of like, Ethel Kane. I feel like Ethel Kane really does pull a lot out of like the quote unquote like sterile Protestant aesthetic. So I'm like, just be more like Ethel Kane.
Come on.
This episode. Come on, X-Files.
Why weren't they thinking of that?
You know?
Was she born at this point?
I don't. Yes. Okay. She certainly wasn't making music at this point.
You don't know that.
Mozart. She wasn't publishing. Mozart?
You know. Child prodigy.
I thought you were saying Ethel Cain is Mozart.
No, she's Mozart. Okay. She's been releasing music for centuries.
Okay.
Come on.
Okay.
You didn't know she was Mozart reincarnated.
I didn't.
Oh my god.
This is news to me.
This is so embarrassing.
This is news.
Whoa.
Wow.
Rolling Stone broke that story ages ago.
Wow. I didn't catch that issue, I guess.
Wow.
Interesting.
It's a lie. I'm sorry.
Yes. Anyway, so I don't know. That's like a random comparison, but that's what I was thinking of while I was watching it. I think that Jeffrey Bell, is that his name?
Yes.
Jeffrey.
Yeah.
Jeffrey.
I was confident until you started doubting it.
I think it's Jeffrey Bell.
Okay.
I feel like...
No.
I think it's Jeffrey.
Okay.
I think that he just got like very, very excited about like pulling a switcheroo on the audience with Mackie being the evil one that he didn't really do anything to set it up in the story. It just like came out of nowhere. Like it really does just feel like a twist for twist's sake, and it was not set up in any way beyond 35 minutes into the plot. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like when he wanted Gracie to heal her father, like that doesn't make any sense. And I don't know, just like why is he also like a snake guy?
Yeah.
It just feels like a twist for a twist's sake.
It's just like a coincidence that he's a snake and they handle snakes, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
There's a lot of snakes.
There are a lot of snakes. And then because of that, they also like spent so much time making you think that the snake handlers were the evil ones, that them being the good guys at the end didn't really make any sense at all. Like the whole... I don't know what was going on with Gracie's baby. Like, what? So Mackie was the father?
Yeah. And so was it like the Antichrist?
But
it was just snakes.
Guess?
It didn't seem to be like that.
And if he was like bad, like Gracie was not like afraid of him in any way.
Yeah.
So presumably, like if they did get together, it was... fine, like from her perspective, which doesn't really make sense.
I guess is it because like the devil hath the power to take a pleasing shape, kind of thing.
I guess so. Not that pleasing.
Like he, well, because he presumably, it seems like everyone agrees that she left her dad's church when she was pregnant,
mm-hmm.
which would mean that Mackie and her got together before she had even left. So it was like a targeted satanic. Temptation kind of thing.
Okay.
I guess.
All right. I guess that makes sense.
And he was like trying Enoch as well by taking his daughter away and his grandchild or whatever.
Yeah. Okay.
I guess.
All right. I guess that makes sense.
I don't know.
But it could have been set up a little better.
Yeah. I think. I definitely not disagree.
Yeah. I don't know, like overall I don't really know what the episode was like, what the point was, what they were trying to say about religion. I don't know.
Yeah.
It just felt like we're gonna pull a little switcheroo on these guys and we're gonna have a lot of snake handling.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really know what the point of the episode was, but yeah, I had a fun time watching it. There were some good set pieces. So I did give it like 3.5 alien head emojis, which maybe is a little high, but I'm a sucker for this kind of story, so whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Miracle Man wishes it was this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, we already talked about it. Obligatory mention of the female reproductive horror.
Mm-hmm.
Chris. Again, I'm giving you a pass on this one episode because it was kind of spooky and done sort of well.
Yep.
But this is really the last time. We're not allowed to keep doing it.
I am so bad.
Better not be.
Bad news for you.
What? I also am a sucker, I will admit, for this sort of thing, tent revivals, you know, snake handling in movies and stuff. There is like a little bit of, and maybe I'm perceiving this, maybe I'm misinterpreting or reading too much into it, but it always feels kind of othering, like here's a little freak community that exists in the US. Let's look at these little freaks in our horror show kind of thing. Which, like, maybe I'm reading too much into it, I don't know, but...
Like, in general or in this episode?
In this episode, specifically. And I feel like in a lot of Hollywood representations of snake handling and stuff. I don't know.
I guess so.
Yeah. I don't know. But I also enjoy it, so it's like, I don't know, whatever. Yeah. It's fun. You know, I'm a sucker for this. It's just so Protestant. I don't know. It's exotic, so it's interesting.
There you go.
What are you guys doing?
Goodness. I'm not handling snakes.
What? Oh, I just assumed.
You're the one who was talking about having a snake in your throat.
I know. You're right. Yeah. But the guy with the snake in his throat wasn't handling snakes.
That's true. Still don't know why he had a snake in his throat, too.
I don't know. It's like a... I don't know if I'm allowed to mention it, but... the Harry Potter book where the snake comes out of that lady. It's gross. Yeah. It's gross.
Icky!
Wait, are you afraid of snakes?
Not especially. Yeah. I mean, I probably would be if there was a rattlesnake in front of me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Same. I feel like I'm in the same boat. I feel like they're, surprising if you see one when you're not expecting it. For sure. Whatever that genetic coding is, but...
Yeah, I would be afraid.
I'm not, especially scared.
Yeah. I'm not scared of them if I watch them in movies or anything.
Yeah. They're just kind of cute. I like when they put little top hats on snakes. I think that's pretty sweet.
Uh-huh.
They look pretty good in those.
Yeah. Better or worse than Scully?
Who
snake or Scully?
I think the snakes, because they have little smiles on them when they do it, and they look so happy.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Scully was mad.
That's true. She was nonplussed.
She was nonplussed.
Yeah,
that's true. But also, I was like, you know, it's like here's a little freak community, whatever. But also, that is kind of when X-Files can be at its best sometimes, when it's like, here's a little freak situation. Let's look at it.
Yeah.
This did feel like a classic X-Files episode to me. It felt like we were in Vancouver. It was just like, you know, they're just like two FBI agents investigating a little weird situation.
Yeah.
And it's dark, it's spooky, it's stormy, it's rainy. We don't know who's good and who's bad. I don't know. It was fun.
Hell yeah.
So I also enjoyed it. I enjoyed the vibes. It doesn't have to tie into greater mythology, blah, blah, blah. It's just a little standalone episode.
Mm-hmm.
But I do agree that I don't really know what it was trying to say. It's like, I don't know. Was there any cohesive moral message? So Enoch was supposed to be righteous, even though he kind of seems like a bit of an asshole. I don't know.
Yeah.
And why was the devil obsessed with him? Why did they both happen to have snakes?
I guess if Enoch is supposed to be a righteous man, then Mackie is obsessed with him because he wants to corrupt him.
Okay. No, I guess that makes sense.
But Enoch did not seem particularly righteous to me.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
I don't know about this guy.
Yeah.
But so is the X-Files positing a world where God is the God of the sort of church, the fire and brimstone, where Enoch would be considered a righteous man by...
I mean, it certainly seems like it.
Yeah.
I just don't think they thought it through very much.
No, I think they were like, wouldn't it be pretty wild
mm-hmm.
if a lady gave birth to snakes?
Yes.
And
which,
happened.
It's fine.
And it was.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. So, yeah, it didn't feel necessarily like a cohesive... thematic story, but it was fun. Beth Grant was great. The guy playing Enoch was great.
Mm-hmm.
So I did also, I gave it 3 out of 5 alien head emojis.
All right.
Solid. Better than average.
Yeah.
Mm.
Nice.
Nice. Snakes.
Love them.
They're cute.
They're sometimes. Not cute.
What about the ones that walk like they look like they have a little army marching in them? Like instead of slithering? Have you seen that? It's
no.
like a type of walk that a snake can have.
I don't think I have.
You gotta check this out. It looks wild.
Army crawling snakes.
I don't know how you would look that up, but it looks like there's a little army marching around. That's how they move. Damn. We can look this up later.
Okay,
I'm sorry. Right. We'll look this up later. All
right. Are we done?
Think so.
Signs and wonders.
Signs and wonders.
All right. It's back in the snake box.
Let's lock it up.
Let's lock
it up. They seem to get out a lot. I don't think those boxes are very good.
No.
I don't know.
No. But if you're righteous, you have nothing to worry about.
I'm not and I do.
Yikes. Well, sad.
Oh, well.
All right. Well, we will move on. Next week, we will be talking about season 7, episode 10, Sign und Zeit. We're gonna get into some stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. Sign. So prepare yourself.
Zeit ist time. Mm-hmm. What sign again?
We'll find out, I think this is, but it's bot. I literally looked this up because I wanted to know how to pronounce that, and now I
Sein
forgot.
Zeit. Is it like being in time or something?
Yep.
Oh,
yep.
Okay. Hey.
Being in time. Nice. Martin Heidegger. Whatever. We'll talk about it next week.
Yeah. I took German for 2 years in high school.
Wow. Mm-hmm. We're all impressed.
Thank you. Cool. Well, I'm excited to talk about that one. If you have any questions, comments, or thoughts that you would like to share with us, please send us an email at skellynationpod@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram, both of those at skellynationpod. I finally got a Blue Sky code. And now I'm like, is anyone on Blue Sky?
I signed us Skelly Nation up a million years ago, and I got one.
Okay, so I guess we're on Blue Sky now.
We're not. Oh. I haven't set it up.
We could be on right into one of these other services, our Gmail, Twitter, or Instagram, and let us know if you're on Blue Sky.
I guess I could set it up and I guess see what's going on.
I don't know who's there. I don't know if I can start over again.
I don't know.
But
yeah.
Anyway. Well, our intro and outro music is by Groovemaster Putz. You can get more of their music on Bandcamp.
Also, if you are enjoying our show, please consider giving us a rating and a review on your podcatcher of choice. And spread the word about the podcast. Tell your friends, your family, and your snake-handling congregation about the podcast, because maybe you can listen to our podcast during your services.
Maybe. That'd be fun. That'd be nice. How many churches could be listening to us if they even cared during service?
That just sounds like one of those like dumb things that they're like, the reason people aren't coming to church is because we're not cool and hip enough, so let's watch a movie that'll Basically. Make people come to church.
Hell yeah.
It's not the reason.
No, there's other stuff going on.
Anyway.
I just like had a flash realization of how lucky people are now, because you could easily listen to a podcast on like a Bluetooth headset without anyone noticing in church now.
That is true.
Oof.
Hair over your ears, you're good to go.
Let's just say I would have had time to listen to some podcasts. But, you know, it's probably good for development to be bored.
Yeah. Probably.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I've been your host, Amanda.
And I have been Ella. And please remember, trust no one.
Ooh.
Except for us.
That's a little hissy.
The end.